Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Man charged with sexually assaulting 16-year-old family member. The Ector County Sheriff's Office probable cause affidavit detailed a 33-year-old man sexually assaulted a 16-year-old family member. John Gomez Torres was charged with sexual abuse of a child younger than 17, a second-degree felony. The sexual assault was reported to ECSO 9:40 a.m. December 16th by a counselor at Odessa High School, the affidavit stated. The victim, identified as a 16-year-old girl, reportedly told deputies that Torres sexually assaulted her in the first week of November 2020. The girl stated that Torres told her not to tell anyone because he could go to prison. A SANE sane exam was conducted at Medical Center Hospital December 16th, and the girl made the outcry that a family member sexually assaulted her, the affidavit stated. The nurse reported that there was visible trauma that hadn't healed. After the SANE exam, a forensic interview was reportedly conducted at Harmony Home, where she made the outcry that while her mom and sisters went to the store, Torres called her to the bedroom to help with the bed sheets, where he kissed her, pushed her on the bed, and sexually assaulted her. During a non-custodial voluntary video and audio recorded interview December 29th, Torres admitted to sexually assaulting the 16-year-old. He stated it was her fault for turning him on and kissing him. Torres was booked into the Ector County Law Enforcement Center December 30th, jail records show. He had one bond totaling $20,000 and posted bail January 1st. ORMC to hold two virtual hiring events. Odessa Regional Medical Center, ORMC, a Steward Family Hospital, will host a virtual hiring event for clinical and healthcare workers seeking new career opportunities January 19th and 20th. In lieu of in-person interviews, recruiters will use video conferencing and phone interviews to meet with candidates interested in furthering their career with Steward Healthcare, the largest private healthcare system in the United States. Candidates may apply by online and schedule a time slot for an interview here or by visiting www.odessaregionalmedicalcenter.org/careers and clicking on the Virtual Job Fair tab. ORMC's virtual hiring event is searching for candidates for multiple positions, including critical care unit register nurse, cath lab RN, emergency department RN, medical surgical RN, house supervisor RN, and respiratory therapist. These are unprecedented times, said Madison Tate, director of marketing and community relations at ORMC. Our goal is to offer a solution that brings potential candidates directly to hiring managers in a safe but practical manner. For more information on the virtual hiring event, call 432-582-8705 or email tammy.smith@steward.org. Student looks beyond COVID to future success. Special to the Odessa American by Rebecca Bell, MC Executive Director of Institutional Advancement. When talking to Sydney Holder, one would think she is older than her 19 years. Her calm demeanor and logical outlook on life is more typical of someone 20 or 30 years older. Even her hobbies are those of an older person. She enjoys making candles, knitting, baking bread, and making jewelry. However, like many young women her age, she admits to an obsession with the Bachelorette television show. Holder graduated from Greenwood High School, May 2019. While in high school, she was active in theater, student council, Interact Rotary Club, and journalism. When she entered Midland College In fall 2019, she immediately became involved with Students in Philanthropy. She currently serves as the Public Relations Chair for MC's chapter of Phi Theta Kappa Honor Society. I have had the privilege to have Sydney in the classroom and to work with her in Phi Theta Kappa. Terry Gilmore, government professor and director of the MC Honors Program, said. She is an absolute dream student leader. Of course, she is an excellent student, but her upbeat personality and her dedication to every endeavor she tackles is contagious to all around her. She is such an asset to Midland College. I chose Midland College because of affordability and the many scholarships that are available, she said. In addition to Pell Grant funding, I've also been awarded the Students in Philanthropy Scholarship, the Marion and Jan Jones Scholarship, and I was awarded a scholarship from the college's General Scholarship funded by the McGarry Reagan Foundation. I certainly have not regretted the decision to attend Midland College. I've gotten a quality education, and I love the MC community. The teachers and staff want to see students succeed. They are vested in my personal success. Gilmore is one of the faculty who, Holder said, has helped her the most. Not only is Gilmore a great teacher, but she also is a mentor, Holder said. She has good advice for everyday life. This coming May, Holder will graduate from MC and transfer to Texas Tech, where she will major in history. Her ultimate goal is to attend law school and become an attorney. I love history, Holder exclaimed. History is the study of the sum of human experience. It is concerned with the past and its present legacy. I've always wanted to be a lawyer. I'm a fan of true crime. My mom wanted to be a lawyer, but life happened and it didn't work out for her. I guess it's in my DNA. Holder is the daughter of Sharon Holder of Midland and Chris Holder of Abilene. Sharon is a librarian at James R. Brooks Middle School in Greenwood, and Chris works in the oil and gas industry. Her younger sister, Brady, is 16 and a junior at Greenwood High School. Family is important to Sydney Holder. In fact, 2 days each week, she travels to Big Lake to care for her grandfather, Jerry Floyd, which includes taking him to doctor's offices and grocery shopping in nearby San Angelo. The COVID pandemic hit Holder and her family hard. Her grandmother, Billy Ruth Floyd, contracted COVID in a long-term care facility in Big Lake and passed away July 7th, 2020. In addition, Holder has not been able to find a part-time job. This past summer, she worked approximately 35 hours per week as a barista at a Big Bear coffee shop in Silverton, Colorado. When she returned to Midland, she found that there were no job opportunities available. I've had part-time jobs since I was 16, Holder explained. While I was in high school, I worked for Jason's Deli, and then last year I worked at Smoothie King. When an opportunity arose for me to spend the summer in Colorado with family friends and work at their coffee shop, I was thrilled to be able to take it. I had no idea that when I returned to Midland, I would have so much trouble finding a job. Holder said that she also struggled with online courses. I took all online courses last fall before the pandemic, and I missed the face-to-face interaction with other students and teachers, Holder said. So I enrolled in all face-to-face classes for last spring's semester. Then the pandemic hit, and all my courses were converted to online. In the fall, a lot of people chose online courses because of the fear of catching COVID, but I preferred to just go ahead and enroll in the traditional face-to-face options. They work much better for me. One of her favorite classes this past fall was physical geology, taught by Joan Goloski. Sydney is a hard worker in the classroom and does quality work, Goloski noted. She always goes the extra mile, and it's all done with a smile. Despite the obstacles brought about by the pandemic, Sydney Holder still maintains a bright outlook for her future. As she enters her last semester at Midland College, Holder looks forward to a promising future at Texas Tech and then law school. Obituaries for Friday, January 8th. Jean Hubbard, Dallas. Jean Hubbard passed away December 30th, She was born in Amarillo, May 3rd, 1938, the second child of G.C. and Evelyn Hubbard. She grew up in Odessa. Surviving her are her sister, Georgia Kelly, several nephews and nieces, great-nephews and nieces. Preceding her in death are her mother and father, G.C. and Evelyn Hubbard, aunt and uncle, Jean and Lonnie Kelly, and a dear friend, Janet Skinner. There will be a private family gathering at Sunset Memorial Gardens in Odessa. If desired, memorials may be sent to the Jan Rees Jones Animal Care Center, 2400 Lone Star Drive, Dallas, 75212. Anna Elaine Etheridge Sparks. Elaine Sparks, 67, of Odessa, passed away December 13th. Visitation will be held Monday, January 11th, from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at Crossroads Fellowship Church. Funeral services will be at 1 p.m. Tuesday, January 12th, at Crossroads Fellowship Church, with pastors Griff Jones and Donnie Williams officiating. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Elaine Sparks was born in Slayton, June 22, 1953, to James and Johnny Wasson. She married Larry Sparks in 1982 in Ruidoso, New Mexico. Elaine is preceded in death by her parents, James and Johnny Wasson, her in-laws, Mr. and Mrs. Speedy and Ellen Sparks, and a sister-in-law, Jan Gober. She is survived by her husband, Larry, sons T.J. Sparks and wife Katie, and Lance Sparks and wife Lindsay, five grandchildren, her sisters Rosie White and husband Chris, as well as Kathy Staines and husband Johnny, Ruby Johnson and husband Jerry, and her son Jonah, as well as several nieces and nephews. Memorials may be given in lieu of flowers to the youth groups for Crossroads Fellowship Church or The Bridge. Clarence Leon C.L. Grumbles, Jr. C.L. Grumbles, Jr. was born April 2nd, 1948, and passed away December 27th. He is preceded in death by his daughter, Amy Grumbles, his father, Clarence Leon Grumbles, Sr., his mother, Louise Grumbles, and his stepmother, Kathleen Grumbles. He is survived by his wife, Robin Grumbles, a sister, Betty Mosley, sister, Tony Prater, Shane Martin, Scott Martin, his children, Shania, Gabe, and husband, Damon, Stephen Grumbles, Stephen Grumbles and his children, several grandchildren, nieces and nephews. Viewing will be held Wednesday, January 6th from 6 to 9 p.m., and a celebration of his life will be held at his home Thursday, January 7th from 1 to 5 p.m. Death notices. Simona Aguinaga Diaz. Simona Aguinaga Diaz, 70, passed away Tuesday, January 5th in Odessa. Services are pending with Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Balbina Pena. Balbina Pena, 87, died Wednesday, December 30th in Odessa. Services are pending with Odessa Funeral Home of Odessa.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading the education section of the Midland Reporter Telegram for Tuesday, January 5th, 2021.
This article is entitled First Korean Restaurant Opens in Midland. Super Polo Restaurant Coming by J.C. Lewis. Midland's first Korean restaurant, Oppa Korean Restaurant, opened this December at 3303 North Midkiff Road, Suite 129. The restaurant serves barbecue Korean chicken wings, bibimbap, which is Korean mixed rice with meat and assorted vegetables on a hot stone dish and fried rice, and chef-created specials. The dessert menu includes tiramisu, mochi ice cream, cheesecake, and sweet sesame balls. The restaurant also serves beer and wine, including sake and Korean soju. Bibimbap comes with kimchi, radish salad, sautéed cucumbers, seasoned soybean sprouts, and broccoli, all made in-house to add to the dish while eating. Diners can choose between a spicy or mild sauce to mix with the dish. Chef's special items include cheese corn, grilled bulgogi, grilled galbi, grilled spicy pork, and Korean pork lettuce wraps. The restaurant offers edamame, takoyaki, sweet potato plate, seafood pancake, kimchi pancake, pan-fried sausage, egg rolls, spring rolls, and gyoza for appetizers. The restaurant offers dine-in, takeout, and delivery through Texas To Go. Appa Korean Restaurant is open 11 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Monday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Friday, and 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Saturday and Sunday. Just announced. Signage for a Super Polo has been set up at the corner of Rankin Highway and West Montgomery Avenue across the street from Detour Bar and Dead End Food Shack. Super Polo has two locations in Odessa, one in Andrews and one in Seminole. Super Polo menu includes charbroiled chicken, charbroiled pork ribs, brisket, sirloin, chihuahua corn, and a variety of combo meals. For more information, visit superpolotx.com.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading the education section of the Midland Reporter Telegram for Tuesday, January 5th, 2021. Midland College Profiles by Travis Woodward. First-generation graduate wants to make a difference. God made me the youngest in my family so that I could see the directions my siblings were taking and decide for myself which way to go, Fabi Torres said. The question I asked myself was, do I want to go to college and try to make a difference? The Midland native is the youngest of five children and the first in her family to graduate from college. Both of her parents left school in the third grade. She graduated from Lee High School in 2017. My brothers and sisters went to college but never finished, Torres said. I thought that I would be exactly like them. Torres followed after her two brothers and two sisters throughout her life. Her parents are Hispanic, and her dad never wanted his children to forget Spanish. He would tell Torres, I don't care what language you learn. I don't care what you decide to do as long as you don't forget your culture and your background. Her parents believed that women were not supposed to strive and succeed in the pursuit of a career. Women should be housewives and mothers, a mentality she embraced throughout her high school years. I was supposed to get married and have kids, she said. Despite knowing that, I told myself I was a different breed. In my sophomore year in high school, my counselors told me about Midland College and the Legacy Scholarship. She put that conversation to the side until the end of her sophomore year, when she decided that she needed to do something with her life. I had to think about my future, so I started to take everything very seriously. I had some of the highest grades in high school. When I was younger, I disliked school and didn't take it seriously. Upon reflection, I feel that God puts people in your path that will help you become a better person. I decided to start school. I had a lot of teachers and mentors. Torres enrolled at MC with a Legacy Scholarship in 2017. That's when she met Associate Director of Scholarships, Aaron Casey Richardson. When I started at MC, I was on the Legacy Scholarship, Torres said. I would go to Aaron's office and complain about my classes. She would look at my grades, and if there was a B, she would say, get it up. You're better than this. At the end of her second year of college, Casey Richardson called and asked her to meet. She told Torres that her school funding through the Legacy program was ending. Torres struggled with the news. My heart sank. I thought I would never finish. Casey Richardson arranged for her to meet Outreach and Bill Pace Cogdill Scholarship Coordinator Josie Samaguay. That meeting resulted in Torres receiving the Bill Pace Cogdill Scholarship, which financed the remainder of her education at MC and continues to pay for her education at the University of Texas Permian Basin. While at Midland College, Torres was also a Phi Theta Kappa member and a two-time Legacy Essay winner. This experience added to her sense of community and helping others. Professor of Government and Director of the MC Honors Program, Terry Gilmore, remembers Torres well. Phabby was a member of Phi Theta Kappa, the International Honor Society for Community College Students, which means that she had to maintain a very high GPA. As the advisor, I appreciate Phabby's enthusiasm and smiling face and her willingness to put forth the extra effort in all endeavors. Torres graduated with honors from Midland College in the fall of 2019 with an Associate in Arts in Teaching and was on the Dean's List. She just completed her second semester at UTPB, where she is working on a Bachelor of Arts in Multidisciplinary Studies with a certification in Early Childhood through the sixth grade. She is already in the Teacher Certification Program and was recently elected President of the Bilingual Students Educational Organization at UTPB. Her mentors at Midland College were not surprised to hear that Torres is doing well. When I think of Phabby Torres, I remember her warm smile and determination to become a teacher, Casey Richardson said. I am not surprised to hear she is doing well at UTPB, but it does warm my heart. I know she will do incredible things in the world of education. Sam McGuay feels blessed to have had the opportunity to help Torres as one of the Bill Pace College Cogdill Scholarship recipients. Phabby's the kind of student everyone dreams they could have. She has a goal, and there's no doubt she will reach it. Torres' primary goal is to teach pre-K and help others achieve their goals. I want to stay in Midland because this is my community. People in my life made a difference with me, and I will strive to make a difference for others. I want to educate the younger minds and help guide them toward their future. Her advice to future students is simple. Put God in the first place. If you feel there is no other way, remember that God is using you like a pencil to write a story that will help others. Don't forget that there are people to help you. Torres's experience at Midland College started her on the path to her future. Because of my background, I learned to strive to the best of my ability. I know that I am smart and I believe in myself. Travis Woodward is the Director of Marketing and Communications at Midland College. President's executive order will help New Mexico's poor rural families. President Trump's executive order this week, providing federal funds for low-income families that do not have access to in-person learning, will help New Mexico students that have suffered as a result of Governor Lujan Grisham's public health order. This funding will help children who have been deprived of a proper education by the governor's damaging online schooling policies. The president's order expands school choice options with emergency learning scholarships to help students who cannot attend school due to the pandemic. Block grant funding would cover such things as tuition and fees for private and religious schools, homeschooling, special education, tutoring, and therapy services. The governor has ripped apart the very fabric of our education system by her poor decision to ban in-person schooling. Her illogical and inequitable decisions have badly hurt rural and poor students who cannot get reliable access to the internet or computers and continue to fall further behind. Her policies have been discriminatory, affecting poor, disabled, and special needs students and families the most. This federal help will be a boost, but so much damage has been done to our schools already, ranked among the worst in the nation. Governor Lujan's refusal to allow in-person learning has created a real crisis in New Mexico. Students are falling behind. Parents are forced daily to juggle work, child care, and their kids' education. The governor has really created a harmful class divide in New Mexico as thousands of children cannot get a basic education, mainly the poor. Then there's the crisis of mental health. New Mexico ranks among the highest in the nation in suicides. Students have taken their own lives, unable to cope with the isolation and the inability to play sports or just to be with their friends. Humans are social beings. The need for physical exercise and to be around others is natural and necessary. The governor's policies are cruel and inhumane, and such restrictions have been shown in other states to not be based on verifiable and replicable science. To make matters worse, the state has failed families in other ways. The public education department is unable to track down 12,000 students thanks to the online education mandate. Now, many families are crossing the border to Texas, fleeing the state, so children can attend classes in person. Trump's executive order will provide much-needed funding to allow students to at least have a better chance at a decent education. School choice will help address what's been a catastrophe here in New Mexico. Mary Trujillo Spinelli, Republican Party of New Mexico, Carlsbad Current, Argus, New Mexico.
Hello, this is Michael. For the first time since the pandemic began, we actually have run short of articles and opinion columns for this week. I'm going to be reading a few other articles that have been published in the Midland and Odessa newspapers. From January 8th's Midland Reporter-Telegram, the oil page. Oil is up alongside equities with stimulus hopes growing, by Andre Guerra-Luz and Alex Longley, Bloomberg. Oil gained for a third day as a Democratic sweep in the U.S. stoked optimism among the prospect of more fiscal stimulus under the incoming Joe Biden administration. The slight rise of less than 1% on Thursday left futures in New York at their highest since late February. Prices tracked a move higher in equities as Democrats are poised to take control of the Senate, House, and presidency, setting the stage for additional virus aid that could boost ailing fuel demand. With the Biden administration taking over and Democrats set to control both chambers, it looks like stimulus packages will be swiftly approved, said Gary Cunningham, director at Stamford, Connecticut-based Tradition Energy. That's going to hopefully provide enough economic relief to keep petroleum demand elevated. West Texas Intermediate for February delivery gained 20 cents to settle at $50.83 a barrel. This week, Saudi Arabia's decision to unilaterally cut production by 1 million barrels a day in February and March set off a sharp rally along the oil futures curve, with the nearest contract for benchmark U.S. crude on the verge of trading at a premium to the next month for the first time since May. Higher prices for closer contracts are a sign of expectations for improving demand, a structure known as backwardation. That's already the case with the key spread between the closest two December contracts, which is above $2 a barrel and near its strongest level since October 2018 on a settlement basis. The spreading coronavirus remains a near-term cap to further gains. Accelerating cases across Europe prompted a call from the World Health Organization for stricter measures across the continent, while the UK's latest lockdowns are already compounding a plunge in fuel sales. Oil is a real commodity that gets used every day in refineries, so prices are going to be capped until demand comes back more prominently, said Jay Hatfield, CEO at InfraCap in New York. Prices are more likely to grind higher than skyrocket higher. Meanwhile, the recent price surge has put Brent's 14-day relative strength index above 70, a sign to some traders that the benchmark may be due for a pullback. West Texas Intermediate's 14-day RSI was also near overbought territory. The market is also gearing up for another tailwind. On Friday, the annual rebalancing of the world's main commodity indexes will take place, a move that's set to see a wave of oil futures buying. Citigroup Incorporated estimates a potential $9 billion of inflows into the market. The rebalance will result in a massive buying of energy futures, while commodity index positions in the metals and agricultural sectors are reduced back to their target weights as per their respective index methodologies, said Ryan Fitzmaurice, commodities strategist at Rabobank. Typically, there is a great deal of pre-positioning in the market for these events, and that could certainly be contributing to the recent oil price strength. Beyond the stimulus implications from a Democratic sweep, a Biden presidency may also mean a 5.6% drop in gasoline demand over 30 years, as he is expected to match former U.S. President Barack Obama's fuel efficiency standards, according to a Morgan Stanley report. More Shale CEOs Pledge Restraint, by Ryan Adams Hurd, David Weth, and Kevin Crowley, Bloomberg. The new boss of Devon Energy Corporation said he won't let this week's rally in oil prices tempt him to return to the days of rampant production growth at any cost, becoming the latest shale executive to call for restraint. "I have a hard time seeing the need for U.S. producers over the next several years to get back to double-digit growth," Chief Executive Officer Rick Muncrief said in an interview. "For this management team, if we really think about 2021, let's keep it flat." Muncrief's comments echo those of Scott Sheffield, who heads up Pioneer Natural Resources Company, and Occidental Petroleum Corporation's Vicky Holub, after Saudi Arabia's surprise plan to cut production in the next 2 months sent oil prices surging. All three executives urged caution, mindful of the industry carnage caused by years of unchecked growth that burned through cash and left investors with little to show for even before the pandemic took its toll. Devon, which closed its acquisition of WPX Energy Incorporated on Thursday, is planning to keep output flat compared with fourth quarter levels, according to Muncrief, who previously ran WPX for 6 years. Pioneer is sticking with its initial production growth target of just 5%, while Holub said her main focus is debt reduction. "Flat is the new growth right now," Doug Suttles, CEO of Ovintiv Incorporated, another driller, told an investor webcast hosted by Goldman Sachs Group Incorporated on Thursday. "We need to see the global markets recover, and our industry needs to show discipline, and that's what we're going to do." U.S. crude production is currently hovering around 11 million barrels a day, about 12% of global demand last year, and some 2 million barrels below its peak at the beginning of 2020. Shale operators' financial weakness and newfound pledges for discipline suggest that lost production, equivalent to the entire output of the U.S. Gulf of Mexico, won't come back anytime soon. But the risk for OPEC and its allies is that shale executives see this year's price boost as an opportunity to return to their old, high-growth, drill-and-be-damned ways. Unlike conventional fields that take years to get up and running, shale producers can drill and start pumping oil within weeks, allowing them to quickly ramp output up or down. Rystad Energy, for instance, said Thursday it sees a surge in U.S. shale activity this year, driven by a rebound in prices over the second half of last year and Saudi's gift to cut production. This increased activity has already started to manifest itself, with rig activity for tight oil up 60% since the low point in August last year, said Epson Erlingston, head of upstream research at Rystad. M&A wave. One way shale producers have been encouraged to shore up finances through its consolidation. Last year, those calls seemed to finally be answered with a wave of acquisitions among independent drillers. Both Devon and Pioneer announced major deals to buy smaller peers in the final months of 2020. For Devon, just keeping production flat will require the company to drill and frack new wells at a cost of around $1.7 billion in so-called maintenance capital, said Muncrief. The company is still finalizing its 2021 plan and intends to have updated estimates in the coming weeks. But nothing will change as a result of this week's rally, which saw U.S. crude benchmark prices jump above $50 a barrel for the first time since February. What you'll see is cash flows potentially strengthen if commodity prices stay in this range or potentially strengthen further, he said. But it's not going to change our activity level. Devon Energy completes $5.8 billion acquisition of WPX Energy, by Paul Takashi, Houston Chronicle. Devon Energy has completed its acquisition of rival WPX Energy, creating one of the nation's largest shale players with a dominant position in West Texas. The acquisition gives Oklahoma City-based Devon access to 400,000 acres in the Delaware Basin that spans West Texas and New Mexico. The combined company is expected to have production of 277,000 barrels a day and save $575 million in costs. S&P Global Platts valued the transaction at $5.8 billion. This transformational merger enhances the scale of our operations, builds a dominant position in the Delaware Basin, and accelerates our cash return business model that prioritizes free cash flow generation, and the return of capital to shareholders, Devon's executive chairman, Dave Hagar, said in a statement. Consolidation is sweeping the energy sector as the industry pulls out of the oil bust caused by the coronavirus pandemic. Oil and gas companies are joining forces and acquiring assets to better weather such downturns. Recent mergers and acquisitions deals include Chevron's $13.7 billion acquisition of Houston-based Noble Energy in October and Southwestern Energy's $193 million acquisition of Montage Resources in November. Under the terms of the Devon WPX deal, WPX shareholders received 0.52 shares of Devon common stock for each share of WPX common stock owned. Devon shareholders own about 57% of the combined company and WPX shareholders 43%. WPX common stock will no longer be listed for trading on the New York Stock Exchange. Following the merger, Devon Energy has a 12-member board of directors consisting of 7 directors from Devon and 5 from WPX. Hagar, the former CEO of Devon, is chairman, and Muncrief, the former CEO of WPX, is president and CEO of the combined company. U.S. drivers paying most at the pump since the pandemic, by Jeffrey Blair, Bloomberg. U.S. retail gasoline prices are at their highest since the pandemic drove widespread lockdowns last March, according to Auto Club AAA. Thursday's national price average of $2.29 a gallon is the highest in nearly 10 months. The boost in fuel prices comes after global crude futures reached the highest since February, after Saudi Arabia cut output earlier this week. The rise in pump prices reflects recent strength in crude, Gas Buddy head of petroleum analyst Patrick DeHaan said. Oil has held over $50 a barrel this week. Optimism continues to build for a recovery in 2021, DeHaan said in an email. Still, gasoline demand is lagging by 10 to 15% from a year ago, but with refiners trimming capacity and a weaker U.S. dollar, values have been climbing, DeHaan said. On a seasonal basis, demand was at the lowest for this time of year since 1997, according to U.S. government data. At the same time, Morgan Stanley expects the incoming Biden administration to match Obama-era fuel efficiency standards that will cut gasoline demand by 5.6% over the next 30 years, according to a research report published Thursday. And now, here is an interesting article that otherwise would not usually be read during our broadcast. This is a National Associated Press article that was published on the obituary page in today's Midland Reporter Telegram. Missouri woman believed to be last Civil War widow dies, by Jim Salter, Associated Press. O'Fallon, Missouri. Helen Viola Johnson's 1936 marriage to James Bolin was unusual, to say the least. He was 93 and in declining health, and she was a 17-year-old schoolgirl. Bolin was also a Civil War veteran who fought for the Union in the border state of Missouri. Jackson was almost certainly the last remaining widow of a Civil War soldier when she died December 16th at a nursing home in Marshfield, Missouri. She was 101. Several Civil War heritage organizations have recognized Jackson's quiet role in history, one that she hid for all but the final 3 years of her life, said Nicholas Inman, her pastor and longtime friend. Yet in those final years, Inman said Jackson embraced the recognition that included a spot on the Missouri Walk of Fame and countless cards and letters from well-wishers. It was sort of a healing process for Helen, that something she thought would kind of be a scarlet letter would be celebrated in her later years, Inman said. Jackson grew up one of 10 children in the tiny southwest Missouri town of Neongwa, near Marshfield. Bolin, a widower who had served as a private in the 14th Missouri Cavalry during the Civil War 7 decades earlier, lived nearby. Jackson's father volunteered his teenage daughter to stop by Bolin's home each day to provide care and help with chores. To pay back her kindness, Bolin offered to marry Jackson, which would allow her to receive his soldier's pension after his death, a compelling offer in the context of the Great Depression. Jackson agreed in large part because she felt her daily care was prolonging his life, Inman said. They wed on September 4th, 1936 at his home. Throughout their 3 years of marriage, there was no intimacy and she never lived with him. She never told her parents, her siblings, or anyone else about the wedding. She never remarried, spending decades harboring the secret that had to be eating her alive, Inman said. After Boland's death in 1939, she did not seek his pension. She also realized the stigma and potential scandal of a teenager wedding a man in his 90s, regardless of her reason. In an oral history recording in 2018, Jackson said she never spoke of the wedding to protect Boland's reputation as well as her own. I had great respect for Mr. Boland, and I did not want him to be hurt by the scorn of wagging tongues, she said. Inman and Jackson were longtime friends. She was a charter member of the Methodist Church, where he serves as pastor. One day in December 2017, she told Inman about her secret marriage to a much older man. She mentioned in passing that he fought in the Civil War. I said, "What? Back up about that. What do you mean he was in the Civil War?" Inman said. Inman checked into her story and found that everything she told him was spot on. Officials at Wilson's Creek National Battlefield sent him copies of Boland's service information. She identified where he was buried in Niangua. She also kept a Bible that he gave her, in which he wrote about their marriage. Those written words were good enough for the Sons of Union Veterans of the Civil War and other heritage organizations to recognize Jackson's place in history. And finally, here's a local sports article from the Odessa American that was published today, January 8th. Rodeo, Sand Hills Stock Show and Rodeo. Saddle Up, Sand Hills Working Within Restrictions Caused by Pandemic, by Tony Venegas. Putting everything together for the annual Sand Hills Stock Show and Rodeo is not an easy task for Vice President Gary Don McCain. Making matters more complicated this time around is adjusting operations due to the COVID-19 pandemic. As the 88th edition gets set to begin this weekend at the Ector County Coliseum, McCain said that leading the Rodeo Executive Committee and making the event happen this year has been an eye-opening experience. There's a lot of rules and regulations involved with putting an event on and following all the safety guidelines, McCain said. It's been tough, but it's been interesting to realize what it takes to keep fans and people in general safe. McCain said that the rodeo is implementing safety measures put in place by the city of Odessa, Ector County, as well as the Pro Rodeo Cowboys Association, PRCA. That includes everything from social distancing measures to hand sanitizer stations. It may look a little different this time around, but McCain said it was important to provide some sort of continuity with the event that's been held since 1933. It's no secret, these cowboys want to go rodeo, he said. It's how they make their living. The rodeo typically marks the beginning of the season for cowboys all across the country and saw a bump in entries last year after being designated as one of the 60 tour rodeos on the schedule. Winning in Odessa meant earning a spot at the Houston Stock Show and Rodeo. It will serve as a qualifier once again, except the winners will qualify to the San Antonio Stock Show and Rodeo, currently slated to take place February 11th through the 28th. The ultimate goal still remains the same, to earn a spot in the National Finals Rodeo. The 2020 NFR was moved to Arlington last December compared to its usual location in Las Vegas. We'll have world champions here, no doubt, McCain said. They're fighting for another world title, and this is the start of that right here. We also have guys that didn't make it to NFR that haven't competed in months. They're coming to Odessa, and it's going to be a really good deal. Among those slated to compete at the Sandhill Stock Show and Rodeo include 2020 PRCA Rookie of the Year and former Odessa College cowboy Kai Hamilton. Other top bull riders slated to compete are six-time world champion Sage Kimsey, defending Sandhills champion Colton Fritzlin, and Chase Doherty, who won the PBR Caveman Invitational back in August. Bareback rider and first-time NFR qualifier Leighton Barry is also set to compete along with Fort Davis cowboy Trey Chambliss. A pair of NFL qualifiers in barrel racing, Jimmy Smith and Stevie Hillman, are also slated to compete in Odessa this year. There are also several local cowboys and cowgirls competing, including Matt Kinney and Charlie Gibson in roping and Odessa's Caitlin Scott in barrel racing. The event also added a special section for saddle bronc and bull riding Thursday night due to the massive increase in the number of entries. There will still be the usual six performances, with the first one beginning at 7:30 p.m. Friday. McCain estimated that the number of entries to the rodeo this year is almost double compared to the 2020 edition. In total, he expects around 1,100 competitors over the course of the two weekends. He added that just getting the chance to come out and compete again is something that he's heard from several cowboys planning to make their way to the Permian Basin. There's a lot of camaraderie between these guys, he said. They may not travel in the same vehicle. They all see each other at the rodeos. It's a tight-knit group, and they'll be glad to see each other.
To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. Another look at supplements. Dear Dr. Roach, the lack of data may indicate simply that there is too little information rather than the conclusion that supplements do not help. I do not believe the medical community has yet tested adequately the impacts of combined strategies to address dementia over time. It appears likely that Alzheimer's disease and other dementias develop over periods of time and that multiple therapies over time may be needed. At 69 and over a number of years, I use moderate, strenuous, consistent exercise, plant, fruit, bean-based diet, and cognitive activity with the following supplements: multivitamin, fish oil, turmeric, CoQ10, and vitamins C, D, and E. My research indicates this has potential to help. My physician agrees none of this will hurt me. My father was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. Since testing lags and is understandably expensive, why shouldn't people trust their own research to try to head off this horrible disease? J.B. Answer. I agree, even though scientists can't prove supplements helpful, they may still be helpful. I also agree that multiple interventions may have a more beneficial effect than just one, and that testing multiple different types of regimens is difficult, expensive, and time-consuming. However, unless a person has an unusual dedication to pure research, it is very difficult to be objective when looking at the confusing mass of conflicting research in these supplements. To take just one, omega-3 fish oil, there are no randomized controlled trials showing a benefit in preventing dementia, and a study combining three trials that studied the impact of omega-3 supplementation on cognitive performance found no effect of treatment after 6 to 40 months of supplementation. Ultimately, it comes down to a balance of potential benefits against potential harms. Of all the supplements you named, none is likely to cause much harm, with an exception being vitamin E in smokers having a possible and small increase in risk for lung cancer. There may also be an increased risk for prostate cancer. With some potential for benefit and small potential for harm, the major downside is likely to be financial. However, the original column was not about these well-studied and low-cost supplements, but about highly advertised supplements costing $30 to $50 per month with no good research to back their claims. It makes me angry that vulnerable people can be misled into thinking these products have been proven useful when they have not.
Too much togetherness puts pressure on happy relationship. Dear Abby, for Friday, January 8th. Dear Abby, I have been in a relationship with a wonderful man, Andy, for 2 years. I couldn't ask for a better partner. We are both divorced with children, and they get along like brothers and sisters. Even though our marriage has ended, mine wasn't an ordeal. My ex and I both knew it wasn't working anymore, and we still get along pretty well. But Andy and his ex-wife never got along and argued for 18 years, and herein lies the problem. He gives me no space, ever. I have discussed it with him numerous times, and his response is, "Well, I have never been this happy, and I love spending time with you. I enjoy our time too, but I feel controlled without him acting controlling. He wants to be with me every minute. I look forward to going to work to escape. How can I get him to listen?" Joined at the hip. Dear Joined, the next time you have the conversation and he tells you he has to be with you every minute because he loves spending time with you, remind him that there are two of you in this relationship. Then inform him that with no time for yourself or friends, you feel claustrophobic, which isn't healthy for you or the relationship. Healthy relationships are those in which both parties allow each other the space to be individuals. If you don't draw a line and insist that he accept it, he will smother you. Dear Abby, you always give great advice on how to respond to people. My husband had a stroke 2.5 years ago. We ventured out for the first time to a store. He was holding on to the cart and stopped to rest. A man behind us, who was obviously following too close, threw up his hands in disgust. Evidently, we weren't moving fast enough for him. So he made a snide remark. I replied that my husband is recovering from a stroke. Unfortunately, a week ago, he suffered another stroke. How can I respond to people who are rude to those who might be slow or disabled? Patience in California. Dear Patience, I think you handled the situation beautifully. All you can do is hang on to your temper and try to calmly educate people like the impatient and rude individual you encountered that day. Dear Abby, my fiancé and I will be moving in together soon, and we're looking forward to a pet-filled life. The concern we both share is that my mother and hers are allergic to animals and will probably never be able to visit because of it. We love each other's parents and would like to have them in our lives as much as possible. Are there rules of etiquette for pets and families with allergies? Pet lover in Georgia. Dear pet lover, if your parents are highly allergic, putting your pets in another room or outside won't work because their hair and dander would be in your carpets and on your furniture. In a case like this, your parents should talk to their doctors and ask if they can get vaccinated to lessen or alleviate their allergies. If that isn't an option, you and your fiancé may have to visit them, so you won't bring any allergens with you.
Jacqueline Bigger Stars by Madeline Aslan. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. A baby born today has a sun in Capricorn and a moon in Scorpio. Happy birthday for Friday, January 8, 2021. Influential, intense, and precise, you can focus all your energy into one presentation, performance, or product, and become famous for it. This year, you explode suddenly on the scene with a new project, which is very successful. If single, you must give others more of a chance. You are pursued by many. If attached, you're usually worshipped by your partner who thinks you're almost godlike. Aquarius is their own god. Aries, March 21 through April 19, 4 stars. Today adds astuteness to your financial strategies. Examine employment and investment options. You will feel restless. A journey could be refreshing and enlightening now. You would enjoy visiting a historical shrine or monument. Tonight, allow yourself plenty of rest. Taurus, April 20 through May 20, 3 stars. A partnership becomes more intense and committed. Be aware of how your deepest relationships are impacting you. A business contact offers an unusual opportunity that you should consider carefully. In-laws want to become closer. Tonight, people from your past call or email. Gemini, May 21 through June 20, 4 stars. Keep the cold at bay with hot chocolate or steaming herb teas. Your health might need some minor attention. It's an ideal time to make needed changes and to examine how hereditary influences might impact your health. Tonight, You're more important to your partner than you realize. Cancer, June 21 through July 22. 4 stars. Passions are strong. You feel the need to right a wrong or confront a problem. Cultivate a creative outlet to focus your energy in a productive way. A child is a source of pride and delight. Tonight, share your activities with one you care for. Leo, July 23 through August 22. 4 stars. Let pleasure eclipse business and worry today. Use fragrant oils to create an atmosphere of beauty and joy. Accept invitations and plan an online party. It is a marvelous day to encourage a new love. Tonight, you will be especially in tune with family. Virgo, August 23 through September 22. 5 stars. Today has an energizing quality and favors exercise, bringing a competitive attitude. Short journeys around the neighborhood are inspirational as well as educational. Life is less serious, and there is time to laugh. Tonight, see humor in the whimsical caprice of a partner. Libra, September 23 through October 22. 5 stars. Be flexible about learning a new job skill. It relates to work you already do, such as editing a project you have already finished. Your income might be less steady, but this can provide a new opportunity. Tonight, you discover new sources of delight. Scorpio, October 23 through November 21, 4 stars. Today enhances your confidence and brings an opportunity for creative expression. It's a great time to enjoy dance. Others share confidences about the recent holidays. It is wise to remain discreet. Tonight, use humor and patience with others and postpone romantic entanglements. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21, 4 stars. Today begins with the need to dream and plan privately. Others might not understand. Your intuition guides you successfully. You have the energy to complete more work, resulting in reward and praise. Tonight, a friend can become a closer partner, even a romantic interest. Capricorn, December 22 through January 19. 5 stars. You become a very effective, influential person today. Frustrations ebb. It's the start of a perfect time to study ultra-modern technologies. Trust your intuition regarding new acquaintances. Your circle of friends widens. Tonight, discard a situation you have outgrown. Aquarius, January 20 through February 18. 4 stars. Important work and concerns come to your attention. Others depend on you today. Your visibility comes to the fore. Put your best foot forward and strive to make the best possible impression. Tonight, you'll have an opportunity to demonstrate your highest potential. Pisces, February 19 through March 20. 5 stars. Today generates refreshing new goals. Helpful, supportive people offer encouragement. You are inspired by new concepts and possibilities. It's easy to gather information. An adventurous mood prevails. Communication with a neighbor or sibling is awkward. Tonight, time heals misunderstandings. Born today, singer Elvis Presley, 1935, physicist Stephen Hawking, 1942, musician David Bowie, 1947.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.